My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 30, The Grey Gull. There is an entire obscure half to life, one we avoid, forget, overlook. You can't overlook it in the northern realms, not during winter, when the nights are long, and where people sought refuge underground to escape the harshness of the weather for centuries. The dark half of the year, finding refuge in the earth, embracing stillness, these customs have been abandoned a long time ago. And because they became unfamiliar, they make us apprehensive. There is power in this dark half we avoid. It has its own laws, its creations, its wealth of stories told by the fire during the months when there is nothing to do other than cozy up and wait for the sun to return. The dark is the keeper of stories, songs, and magic. It is the place and time for contemplation and refining thought. It affords freedom from distraction and a cocoon inside which one can turn one's gaze inwards. Magic and mystery thrive in the dark half of life, because the latter is endlessly patient, focused and unswayed. Refined thought requires silence and solitude, while wisdom is gained away from distractions. I see you by the fire, Fiona, quietly carving sigils and runes on a little tree bark heart. You are alone in your tower, during your dark night, waiting for the next day to come, which is meant to be your last, but you are not grieving, my princess. You are focused, assured, your ceremony demands it, your life depends on it. The power and wisdom Jerun passed on to you upon her death has made you a priestess, and taught you secret knowledge, the knowledge that links mystics to heaven and earth and the ways of the gods. It gave you access to the Thonic realm with all its power, which mere mortals shun and fear because they don't understand it. But not you, Fiona. That power is the one thing that could never be taken away from you, and it is your way out of bondage. You took the little bark heart and singed it in the fire, chanting softly the old words you heard in your childhood, back in your native land of fjords, before your journey here. The little heart gleamed softly, but didn't ignite, and you held it to your chest, to bind it to your own, while you watched the bloody tinge of the sunrise break the horizon. You called upon the birds and they listened, because you knew how to speak in the tongue of the animals. And when the grey gull approached the narrow opening that brought meager light into your cell, you reached out through the bars and thrust the heart inside its chest. The bird wavered a little, confused, and flew towards the sunrise, and when it left, your body disappeared. The guards came in the morning to take you to your ordeal and the trial of fire, and all they found was left of you, my princess, was your white woolen garment lying on the floor in front of the window. In vain searched the guards, in vain wailed the rulers, all in vain, because your destiny was always to be free. Most people live to die, you live to escape the human condition. Betty, Denise interrupted my daydreaming. I can't believe I'm saying this, but do you want to go to Meisho for the winter solstice? It's supposed to be very special, the light enters the tomb at sunset to illuminate it. Meisho, I said, growing a shade paler at the memory of my claustrophobia attack and how I made a fool of myself in front of a lot of nice people I didn't know. Well, if you are going to do this Lady of the Underworld thing, might as well do it right, no? Get the genuine experience. Do you want to go? How long have you known me? Is there any circumstance where there's somewhere interesting to see and I don't want to go? Even after you clung to me white-knuckled out of fear of the Knuckle Abbey? Are you ever going to let that die? You said the old island inhabitants' relationship with their dead was something very special, which needs direct sensory experience to understand. Sure. I looked out the window, and although it wasn't even 4 in the afternoon yet, it was already night. North, winter, night, cold, silence, senescence, wisdom, earth, the gifts of the dark half of the year, the time for distilled wisdom, reflection and sleep. So, are we going? I suppose, Denise, I started confessing what happened to me the last time at the cairn and changed my mind halfway through it. What? Never mind. Did you hear about the new Viking burial site? Everybody is talking about it. What burial site? The one they found on the northernmost island. Maybe they found your princess after all. But, I was going to say, and stopped, because I heard in my mind how odd that would sound. I was going to say that can't possibly be my Fiona, that my Fiona transferred herself into a bird and flew free. There is very little distinction between fairy tales and magic. The main difference is magic comes true. It's from the 10th century, and Viking, the first people to come over here on a boat, that's got to be connected to your princess, right?
I guess.
I got up and got dressed with automatic gestures.
Where are you going?
The Heritage Society. I have to find out more about this. It is something directly related to my research.
Can't it wait until tomorrow? It's already dark.
It's 4 in the afternoon.
I protested.
Do you want me to come with you? We can stop by the shops on Victoria Street on our way back. I need mittens.
It is December, and it had been raining a lot lately. I expected Orkney to be a frozen landscape in winter, since it is so far north, but it's never cold enough to snow here. It's the ocean's influence, I suppose. The winter is cold, it rains a lot, and loud angry winds sweep the islands. The days are only a few short hours and the nights are long, but no, it doesn't snow. My inquiries at the Heritage Society yielded critical information which reorganized my schedule to include a very ill-advised boat trip across the Roost to Papa Westray to visit the new archaeological dig.
I'm not thrilled to have found you, Fiona. I'd rather you escaped into immortality just as I envisioned, although a Viking burial all but guarantees your life didn't end condemned and by fire.
The thought of going to Maesho again brings mixed feelings. I don't know if I'm excited or afraid of what I feel will be a deeply compelling experience. The vision of you dancing and laughing inside the tomb while holding human bones still haunts me. There are folk tales that say spending time inside the cairns can drive people mad. They say the Fae folk do not look kindly on intruders disturbing their realm. The memory of being slowly squeezed by giant slabs of stone quickened my breath and numbed my chin and fingers.
We won't be alone there, Denise reassured me. Solstice at Maesho is a big event on the island.
Yes, I know.
We don't have to go if you don't want to.
I want to. I want to know what it feels like when the light of the sunset enters the tomb. I don't know why it is so important to me, but I have to be there to experience it.
Yeah, you're weird, Ethel. And I am enabling you.
This is why I came here, Denise. I'm not on vacation.
Whatever you say. I'll make arrangements.